And welcome to another edition of the Odyssey Radio Show. My name is Mike Schultz, and I'm your host. We talk about metaphysical topics, ancient mysteries, and unfiltered, non-corporate news of the day. Today we're going to be talking all about angels. And we all know we have spirit guides, but we want to be closer to them and to connect with them. And we have a real expert on angels. Welcome to the show, Dr. Kermie Wollenhoff.
Thank you, Mike. It's great to be on the show today.
Okay, well, you describe yourself as an angelologist, and why don't you tell me a bit about your background and what this means?
Mm-hmm. An angelologist is one who researches and studies angels, and that's what I do. I have my Master's of Divinity from the Iliff School of Theology, and then a PhD, and my dissertation was on angels. So I am a credentialed angelologist. I got it from the College of Metaphysical Studies. I have also been the director of the School of Angel Studies in Portland, Oregon, which is now going online. We're going to be offering classes about angelology.
Well, our audience would definitely be interested in that. What's your website?
The website is kermieandtheangels.com.
Okay, so I understand you studied with Dr. Doreen Virtue. I know she's one of the leaders in the field and has many books. Can you tell me about that experience?
Mm-hmm. Dr. Doreen Virtue is an amazing person. If anybody can ever see her when she comes to your town, please take advantage of that and take that opportunity. She is, I would say, by far one of the leaders of this field, especially in modern times. And she's written many, many books, as you know. She has probably put it on the map. The first book that was out was from Billy Graham out in 1956. And it's interesting in his preface and his foreword, he talks about looking for angel books. And this was 1956, and he could not find an angel book anywhere.
Really?
And so since then, we just feel like there's been so much written about angels, and certainly Doreen has been key in all this. There's Diane Cooper, there's Harry Tyler, there's just amazing people, Joan Weston, who have really pushed this, John Randolph Price. There's just so many.
And I understand you are writing a book, too. Why don't you tell me about the topic?
Mm-hmm. I'm writing a book. It's called How to Talk to and Actually Listen to Your Guardian Angel. It's based on my workshop that I give around the country and now internationally on how to talk to and actually listen to your guardian angel. Within 4 hours, people are having conversations with their guardian angel. It's very exciting. I, as you know, Mike, give angel readings, and I talk to other people's guardian angels, and I can do that all day, but to actually teach people how to talk and communicate with their own is just such a thrill to me, because who wants to call me up just to ask your guardian angel a question, which is great, but you want direct communication. So I am taking all the information that I have gotten from my workshop and what works and kind of honed that into a workbook and a book, actually. It's got exercises and very encouraging, and there's lots of stories. It's a second part of it about what people have experienced from their guardian angel to kind of encourage people if they get something different than they think they should. We have kind of this romantic view about what a guardian angel looks like, what they do in our lives, and that's true, but there's also much more to a guardian angel than kind of just protecting and guarding. Some are mentoring, some are loving, some are resourcing. Some people are very business-type angels. There's just a million different types that we call in prior to birth, actually, Mike, to do our soul mission.
Now, do you believe that angels have ever incarnated upon the earth plane, or are they a different category than humans?
Well, as an angelologist, I study a lot of people's work, and Doreen Virtue has a wonderful book out called Earth Angels, and she talks about how she has found that people have origins outside of kind of the human race, that we have come in, light workers have come in from other places, and one of the categories she talks about is angels, that from the angelic realm, volunteers have come to come and help the planet kind of go through this planetary shift from the third to fourth or fifth dimension that we're going through right now. And she talks a great deal about that. She is probably one of the only scholars that are talking about that at this time, and I certainly want to honor that, but most of the work is about that not being true. How it looks to me, and I certainly want to keep that door open, because you don't know, but what it looks like to me when I touch into someone who has a lot of angelic qualities or angels around them or a very big, I don't know, an enormous connection with the angels, what it looks like to me is that there's this tremendous support group of angels around the person. And so the problem with, and I find it problematic when people learn that they are from the angelic realm or from the fairy realm or from another planet or something like that, they want to go home. There's this longing, please take me out of here. And so I have to kind of tell people, you really have got a first-class ticket here. You spent a lot of time to train to be here. Don't just want to pop back out and go back where it's comfortable. You are here on a mission to help this planet and the beings upon her to go through this transformation. And yes, it's supposed to be uncomfortable. We're not supposed to be like, oh, gee, this is great, great restaurants. I think I'll just stay here and kind of immerse into the population. But to really, I don't know, to just do our, just to get as much love and light out on this planet as possible, to be of highest and best service. So when people find or learn that they really are from another realm and they just go there, they find that they very have a lot of longing and try to then kind of protect themselves, be in a bubble around here on the earth and not really interact with kind of folks who are not of the same vibration. And what we're here to do is to really be part of and to help each bring in light and help the planet find structure and find kind of political systems or economic systems that are more of the fifth dimension and not so much of the third dimension of competition.
And in the metaphysical community, I think we can recognize earth angels all throughout, whether it's Lee Carroll from Cryon or Doreen Virtue or yourself. We're all around. What I want to ask you next is, let's talk about our home environment and creating maybe a sacred space, or how would you go about making that first initial approach?
Angels only do divine will. So the key to having angelic interaction is to ask. They cannot intervene unless someone has asked for us. We are probably all alive because our parents have prayed for us and have asked for protection from the divine or the angels. And so to certainly you can intercede for other people, but as far as angels just coming in and kind of creating space, you really have to ask. The prayer is number one. The intention, of course, is very important, and to co-create the space is really important. So to stay in meditation, stay open to receiving guidance on sacred space is really important. But if we kind of go with, we read a book and we think, oh, that's good, let's put a purple candle over here and this and that, that's only half the story, but to really have your interaction is the other half. So prayer is first, and then stay open. And you may think, oh, I'm going to have sacred space in one part of my bedroom. And Spirit says, gee, the utility room really is the perfect space. And then you think, oh, my gosh, I have to rearrange my utility room.
Right. Say,
well, no, right here is really perfect. It just happens to be right across from the washer dryer. But this really would be the best space. So anyway, so you have to kind of stay open and not just go with your conscious mind.
So would it be good to take a certain time each day to have kind of an ongoing dialogue with your angels? And do you believe each person has one main guardian angel?
Mm-hmm. Everybody has a main guardian angel. Some have more than one. And again, we call them in prior to birth to help us with our soul mission. And then as we go through what the Eastern religions call the river of forgetfulness, we come into life and we have no clue. And we're walking around saying, What's my life purpose? What am I supposed to be doing here? But if we do the desire of our heart, we will get into our life purpose. But yes, you could, just to get back with, should we have a certain time of day that we want to talk to them? That in the ideal world, that would be really great, but many of us have found that, you know, if we say, okay, 4 o'clock in the morning, I will get up and pray and meditate and stuff, and it takes a lot of discipline to do that. There's some distractions, we may be traveling, things like that, plus 4 o'clock in the morning is cold, and our body just doesn't want to get out of bed and things like that. But if we kind of just say to the angels and co-create and say, please wake me up. What time would be best? And they will kind of ring the bell for us throughout the day. Sometimes you will feel tired, and instead of grabbing that mocha, whatever, Java kind of caffeine drink, if you just lay down and meditate, that might be the key, and that may be what they want you to do instead of to artificially stimulate ourselves. So I find that a lot of people who are called to meditation will get a kind of a ring of some sort and feel like, ooh, it's time for me to meditate. Sure enough, they're there, right there. But you can also just say, okay, from 9 o'clock to 10, I'm going to meditate, or, you know, 7 to 7:30. And that works for a lot of people. But many of us aren't that disciplined, and so we try to just work it in whenever we can. I know Churchill used to lay on his desk for 20 minutes every day. And he laid on his desk because he didn't want to go to sleep. But he would meditate. And I think that was really important for certainly the war he was going through and the decisions he had to make.
So that's a really good idea. Now, can angels use dreams? Can we ask a question before we go to bed and get a dream that will inspire us?
Mm-hmm. Many times angels will use dreams, yes. And so always write down your dream. Have a dream journal would be great. Some folks are that's their main connection with the angels. Sometimes synchronicity is really important, just to watch, especially in hindsight, to say, wow, look how that was organized. And that's a series of events that happen as an answer to prayer or an answer of intention or need or something like that. Coincidence or God incidence is really an answered prayer that the angels do. And, of course, your intuition. And that's what I focus in on, is building and developing intuition. I have several private students that I meet with, and that's what we do. We develop intuition so that their connection with the angelic or, like you said, the astral, the spirit guides, is much more clear and all that. You can actually, Mike, talk to everybody. You've got an angel band, so it's not just your guardian angel or your main spirit guide or your joy guide, but you've got relatives, you've got ancestors, you've got other spirit guides that help you on different things. Each angel and spirit guide has kind of their own job description. So if I'm building a house, I will have a different spirit guide that I work through, that the primary focus is building that house and that intention. And when that's done, then they can dissipate. They can go and work with someone else. But your main angel and your main guide stay with you.
So what's a practical idea that we could have the members of our audience to build their intuition? What's something they could do to practice?
Mm-hmm. Again, the first thing I would say is prayer. A daily practice is really essential if you're going to do any kind of spiritual work. So in the morning, if you do in the shower, you take a shower or something, do a cleanse just energetically or in your imagination. Just be an energetic cleanse and send it down through the drain and have it transmuted, as like Archangel Michael, it transmuted into positive energy so it doesn't clog your drains. I've had people call back and say, it's clogging my drains. And say, no, have it transmuted to positive energy, because you want to recycle that into back to source, actually. Also, a daily practice of prayer and meditation, even if it's 20 minutes of daydreaming, just being receptive, being open in your imagination, and paying attention to those hits, Mike. You know, those ones when you're walking out the door and you get this kind of hit that says, take that umbrella. And you look out, you're rushing out the door, and you say, oh, it's blue sky, I don't need that umbrella. And so we bulldoze over it, and we just pay no to spirit. And then in the afternoon, it's a big thunderstorm, and we sort of say, yes, you know, I knew I needed that umbrella. But it could really take those 2 seconds to grab that umbrella or to do those things. Sometimes people say, I heard yesterday someone said, you know, they told me I just got this hit daily to check the oil in my heater, and I didn't. And now it ran out. It was a big problem. She said, you know, I knew this. They kept telling me, but I was so busy. I said, no, I can't do it today. I can't do it today. I can't do it today. And then, of course, you know, it comes back. And she took responsibility, you know, going, yep, I need to do that. So that's really important, because they will keep us right there if we keep bowling over those hits. You know, turn right here. Well, I always go left. Why do I need to turn right? So we just say, okay, I'm just going to go right. I don't know why. And then there's a garage sale that has a dresser that we've been looking at, you know, at IKEA forever, and it's half price or something. So you just kind of keep going with your intuition and keep building that and keep developing that.
That makes a lot of sense. Why don't you remind our audience in the Odyssey Radio Show how to get in touch with you and what kind of services you offer?
Mm-hmm. My website is www.kumiandtheangels.com. The school's website is www.schangelstudies.com, but you can get there through Kumi and the Angels, and sometimes that's easier for people to remember. And so there is a link that goes right to the school as well. I have a couple CDs out. I'm recording a series of CDs, angel meditation CDs with Caitlin Hart. She is a composer out of Florida. She's a metaphysical composer. And we just, you know, one of those synchronicity things, we just connected at a recording studio when I was recording some chapters off of my second book, Shopping with the Virgin Mary. And she walked in and said, oh, my gosh, did you do this angel meditation? I said, yes. And so we have Dance of the Angels, and it's available on the website. And now brand new out is Abundant Angels. And this CD is extremely powerful. I caution people. I say, in order just to be effective, listen to it once a day. But be careful. You really need to be ready to go to your next level of financial health when you're listening to this CD, because your life will change. Both Caitlin and my life has shifted dramatically. And we kind of laugh about it, about how important and how powerful these abundant angels are in our lives. They've just kind of shifted out things that were not serving our highest and best good, and then have put in so many new things. So it's quite powerful. I also give angel readings and business readings. So I talk to people's guardian angels and other angels. There's business angels, romance angels, health angels. And I'm finding that angels, again, have job descriptions. It's not just your guardian angel. Your guardian angel is kind of the director of the choral, of the angel band, I call it. But we are their charge. They call us the charge of them. The human is the charge of the angel. And of course, they certainly can't roll over our lives or take over, and they don't want to. They only guide and suggest. Like I said, they give us these little impressions, like, you know, take that umbrella out. And then it's up to us to actually trust and to act on their suggestions. Very fascinating. I also have, you know, my books are available probably in spring of 2008. I'm trying to get fall 2007. We're negotiating right now with publishers about all that as well. I also have Angels in Sacred Texts, Angels in the Bible, Angels in the Book of Mormon, Angels in the Quran, and other non-canonical Judeo-Christian Islamic writings that are sacred writings around angels.
That's fantastic. So why don't we go through the 4 main archangels and tell me a bit about each one. Let's start with Michael.
Mm-hmm. Archangel Michael is considered to be at the right hand of the divine. The second one that you will talk about probably is Gabriel. Archangel Michael is the archangel that is mentioned as an archangel in the Bible, and is the only archangel named with the archangel title. We certainly have Gabriel in there, but is not named as an archangel, even though we know that she is. But Michael is the protector. Michael is when, and many, many people have seen Michael, have worked with Michael. I teach a class on meeting the four archangels, just the main four, but he's extremely powerful, very strong. And when you call on Michael, which you can, they have no time and space, so don't feel that, oh, Michael's probably too busy to deal with my little situation here. Please call on them. But Michael will get you out of a nasty situation or give added protection if you need it or remove fear. Archangel Michael is also said to be over the light workers here that has special attention for us that are here to be of service to this planet. So, so of course, that helps. Archangel Michael knows us. But he's got lots of troops, so it's not only him. A lot of people will talk about stories about Michael where they're in kind of a bad situation, walk in a dark alley and they get scared and they ask for Michael's help, and like a dog will come up and walk them through that alley. So angels can shapeshift. They can come in any form they want to. So they don't have to materialize totally in body, but they will send whoever they need, you need to be there, or they will actually come in a form, in a kind of a material form, what we call form on this plane.
This question is a little bit out of the blue, but if you have, you're traveling on a long trip, like a plane ride or a long car ride through the mountains, who would you call for a safe passage?
I call on Archangel Michael for protection, and then I would call in Archangel Raphael. He's the healer and the traveler, and he's really an amazing guide as well. There is a, it's in the Apocrypha, it's called the Book of Tobit. There's a lovely story about Archangel Raphael and how he helped Tobias, the son of the author or whoever, and how he got him a wife, how he healed the father, and also how he gave safe passage to the son of the author. It's really quite a fascinating story. But try to experience these angels by calling them in, and especially when you're traveling. There was a time when I was on the airplane, and it was extremely bumpy. And I just went into deep meditation, and I said, please stabilize this plane. And I felt their presence so strong, and I asked especially for Michael and Raphael. But again, you don't want to just limit it, so I just said, any angel will do. And I could just feel them coming under the wings, and it just was so smooth from then on. So they're there. I also like airplanes, Mike, because they are angels. They're usually white, not that, you know,
right,
color makes a difference, but and they've got wings. So I really feel that when we go flying that we're pretty much in the stomach or the belly of an angel. So when you get into a plane, just ask angels to be with you. And cars as well. You can put them, I have angels, they love to be outside on the fenders and on the back lights and stuff and on the roof. And they love to just, you know, travel and like to move and help you.
Oh, that's wonderful. So we've covered, started to cover the second archangel, Raphael, and I know that he's a medical healer. Can you ask if he heal other people too in your family, or can you send him out to help others?
Yes, I do. I do lots of distance healing as well as I teach healing. I have a class, Healing with the Angels, and one of the sections we talk with the healing angels or the angel of health, and then we kind of come down in the dimensions, and we get to Archangel Raphael, and then we go to our personal angels, healing angels. And Raphael has very interesting healing techniques because he's a traveler, and he's very jovial. So he doesn't look at things very seriously, like, oh my gosh, this is really tragic. Like we might if, you know, somebody had a fatal illness. But, and he will use very interesting means, just like in the Book of Tobit. I love sacred text because it kind of gives us a little flavor about them. In the Book of Tobit, he and the goes fishing, and the son goes fishing, and he uses parts of the fish to heal the father. Now, who would know that? And sometimes when you use Raphael, he'll say something very different, like, gee, go to, you know, a spaghetti place and have a basil, put a lot of basil on the sauce. I don't know. There's just a lot of interesting things that he does to heal. So just kind of go with what they say, even though it seems wacky to us. Just follow their direction. If, and like I want to just say, if you or anyone hears anything that is not of love, or they say, go jump off the bridge, or if it's going to harm you or someone else, this is not an angel. And so when you're talking to angels, with the daily practice and do prayer, I always ask for divine white light and rainbow colors of divine light. I ask for Archangel Michael to put angels on the four corners of the room or the property or wherever I am to maintain this high divine energy. And with the intention of the divine, you will not have any weird negativity come into your space. So if you are just kind of up there talking to any old buddy, because there's like folks on the astral and all kinds of places that we just don't want to be in their energy and their negativity. We don't want to do that, you know, on Earth. Why would we want to do it in the astral? So just ask, and then you're assured that it's all going to be real positive. And again, you can, you know, like I said, call on Archangel Michael to just kind of protect that space. Because sometimes people see this big old spotlight, and, you know, we're just little spotlights walking around the world, and it's like a bus stop, you know. Everybody's going, oh, what's going on over there? So they just won't be able to come in. They can watch, and, you know, you can send angels to help whatever being, whether it's human or on the other side, to send them towards the light. But
so we really set the intention. So let's go on to the third Archangel, Gabriel.
Gabriel is considered to be feminine energy, and angels do have masculine and more feminine and also androgynous energies. So she really, even though it says in the Bible he, but everything in the Bible says he. So, you know, the divine is he. And we know that the divine is more than a masculine energy, or it's a feminine energy as well. But Gabriel really presents as feminine and is extremely strong. She comes with white and lavender energy, powerful. During virtue always says, if you call on Gabriel, just know that she's going to be nudging you. So if you've got a project and you're asking Archangel Gabriel to be there, you will not be able to be distracted very easily off this project. She will get you back on it with your discipline and your intention. She's very good with mothers, children, more of the feminine arts as well. But again, she's extremely strong. So even though we think sometimes in our culture that femininity is weaker, it's very intuitive, it's very strong, and extremely powerful, more subtle.
I see. And the last Archangel I've heard pronounced as Ariel and Uriel. Why don't you tell me about that Archangel?
Mm-hmm. I pronounce it Uriel. Uriel has a yellow. Each Archangel has their own color, their own sound, kind of their place on Earth, their own seconds, seasons, things like that. There's a lot of wonderful people doing angel magic who are discovering that there's angels over certainly everything, and what the archangels are really focused in on. Uriel's color is usually yellow, very mental. If you're in school, you're doing any kind of training, knowledge seeking, and this can also be not only like school, like high school or college or, you know, traditional schooling, but also spiritual knowledge. Ask Archangel Uriel if you're going for a test, if anything like that, any kind of evaluation, Uriel is right there for with you. In fact, I've heard stories of people who work with the angels have gone and just ask Uriel to be with them during a test, and they've had answers that they didn't even know. And now, of course, we have to do our part. You can't just, like, you know, watch a movie, and then when the test comes, you know, just rely totally on the angelic. You really have to do your work. But they will help in a great deal and kind of just jog your memory a lot.
Well, that makes a lot of sense. We're winding up the interview here, but I have one last question. I study lost books of the Bible and rare manuscripts, and in the book of Enoch, it talks about the character Enoch ascending to heaven and becoming a powerful angel named Metatron. Why don't you tell us a bit about this entity and how he can help us?
Metatron is extremely powerful, and it's what's interesting about Metatron, first of all, is, as you've known, the angels, the archangels, have an I-E-L at the end, Uriel, Michael. There's always this L sound, and then there's Metatron. And Metatron is not mentioned in any of the, like you said, the...
Old Testament.
Yeah, but the Book of Enoch, and you're right, it really talks about Enoch just becoming Metatron. And there's always a little controversy about that in the angelologist's mind, is because angels have never been human. But Emanuel Swedenborg talks about in his visions that angels became human, and that if we do good works, we can. And there's Clarence of It's a Wonderful Life. So Metatron, and it doesn't really matter. We could care less if Metatron's a true angel or this amazing, powerful, universal teacher or whatever.
Exactly.
Metatron's very powerful. And yes, you can certainly call on Metatron to do amazing work. There's a lot of writings about Metatron out there, and there's even more modern writings coming out as people are having more and more experiences with Metatron. But he's very tall. Most everyone I've talked to and the archangels themselves really just, you know, and when they, I ask for the archangels and Metatron to come, the archangels all look up at Metatron because he's so tall and powerful and extremely this bright white light, and so he's quite a warrior, actually. He's extremely powerful, and with a being so powerful, of course, your body has to assimilate and has to kind of allow to walk with him. You've got to go through some changes, so anybody that works with him, and I'm sure, Mike, you've had this experience that as you've talked to him, you've probably had some dietary changes. You've had some consciousness changes. I'm sure he's really guided you through some amazing paths. Is that true?
I haven't started working with him yet. I'm just aware of, I study the Book of Enoch, so I wanted to find out as much as I can about Metatron. I want to ask you, we've been talking about half an hour or so you probably have some sense of myself. Can you tell me what guardian angel is around me?
I do, and Mike, they're really talking, they're kind of coming with a message. Yes, keep doing your interviews and your radios, and also you're going to be going on broadcasting not only on the Internet, but in radio out in the world. Your vibration has to keep going out, so they're really encouraging. Why we have these few minutes, they just wanted to encourage you to expand your radio interviewing. And radio is it. You may do a little bit of TV here and there just to kind of get your feet wet into
right.
that. But your radio really is important because you're bringing in so many people and putting them on the air. And so it's not just the show on this station, but there's many more for you to do. So keep... they're calling it syndicating. Keep syndicating.
Okay.
And you've got someone that likes to talk a lot. Your angel is very verbal. And you called in one that works a lot with your throat chakra. And he's is just chatting up a storm. So he's just kind of moving his mouth to let you know that he's extremely verbal. And it's going to be hard for you to kind of calm your mind a little bit. You'll say, oh, gee, I need to calm my mind. Don't worry about it. That's him talking. So when you meditate, you are not going to be calming your mind. You're going to just write down everything that's coming through your thoughts. So if you would, your meditation is going to be more writing and more talking into a microphone. And ask him, interesting, he likes the name Michael as well.
Okay.
Michael is very connected to you, and it's not a mistake that your name is, you know, Mike.
Uh-huh. Now, is this Archangel Michael or a different angel?
Michael works with, the Archangel Michael works with you, but at a distance. He's showing me that he's at a distance. That Archangel Michael, you don't need that much protection, but, you know, he's out there when you need him. But it's not Archangel Michael that is your guardian angel. But he likes the name Michael because it's so powerful. And it's very connected because when you pull him in, he kind of comes into your energy. You've allowed spirit to come into your energy. And so many times you will say things that you'll just say, wow, that was pretty amazing. And it's actually him. So he's merging with your energy. And you've worked with him, oh my gosh, since you were little. When you first talking, apparently you talked a great deal pre-language. And you talk to him quite often.
I see. Well, I'm a tarot reader, and certainly messages come through that are not of me.
Uh-huh.
So I think he's using me in the tarot.
Yeah. He's quite verbal. So he's right there, and he's just very merged with you, as well as he stands above and beyond, behind you. But he's just bright, he's brilliant, and very of light, and he's sparkly. His lights are sparkly. His eyes, you know, they show me kind of as humans, but he's showing me how he's just, you know, so excited about life.
Absolutely. Now, are there any other topics that I didn't cover that you would like to expand upon?
I just want to encourage everyone again to do a daily practice to call in angels. Angels are sitting there. People will say, I've called on the angels. They're not telling me anything. I say, well, did you ask them anything? They said, well, no. And I'll say, well, ask them questions and ask them to be part of. And if you're asking for a parking place, Mike, they love it when we ask for a parking place when we're getting in the car instead of going when we're approaching the parking lot.
Uh-huh.
So give
that
them
explains
some time.
It.
Divine timing, you know, they can orchestrate things. But and, of course, again, we can will them to do stuff, but they're not cosmic bellhops. Just know that they will answer prayer of the highest of the intention. So if I ask for more money or a red sports car or something, they will give me a dependable car, or they'll give me, you know, a promotion at work, or, you know, I'll find a quarter on the, you know, street or something like that. They will go with the highest of the intention of the prayer. And one nice prayer is to just say, I have the knowledge of God's will and the power to carry that out. That is so high. That's so trusting. Instead of saying, please help me do this, help me do that, help me do it, you know, to just say, here, help me, co-create with me today, and then watch and see what happens.
That is a wonderful message. So tell us one more time how our audience can get in touch with you.
www.kermieandtheangels, it's all written out, kermieandtheangels.com. And my email's on there. You can email me questions. I have a column, a new column called Ask Dr. Kermie, and I'm just putting that together. I've got some links there, and you can certainly get the CDs through there or anything else. I've got readings. I'll let you know when I'm coming to town. I'm certainly open, and I'm traveling around throughout the country and the world at this point. So if anybody's interested in having a workshop, please call me, and we will put that together.
And maybe at some point you can have a radio show on this network, too.
That would be great.
So I want to remind everyone, it's bbsradio.com, and we will rerun this interview tonight at 9 p.m. I'm looking forward to it, and thank you for joining us, Kermie.
Thank you so much, Mike. God bless.
Take care. God bless. Bye-bye. So that was a fantastic guest, Dr. Kermie Wallenhaus. And we have a few more minutes before Candy, my co-host, joins us. A couple big stories in the news. There was a big UFO sighting in Chicago at O'Hare Airport, and many airline pilots saw it, and baggage handlers and passengers saw a giant shiny silver disc hovering over the Chicago airport for a couple minutes, and then it actually flew through a cloud and created a giant hole. So I think we're starting to have more and more obvious UFO sightings as consciousness rises and the planet comes to this shift into a higher dimension. I think we're going to see more and more of this breaking through to the mainstream news. And this was on the mainstream news this week, believe it or not. When you have a big sighting like this, it tends to punch through the wall in the media. And this one is at rense.com. If you go to rense.com, that's the main source I go to news for each week. The other big story is that Ron Paul, a congressman, a real patriot, is running for president. And he really is challenging the New World Order and globalism. And he's in Congress. He's been there a long time. It's funny, he's a Republican, but the Republicans are trying to get him out. And